Chapter 36 Escape. They were so faint I was almost imagining it, but I was fairly certain I was hearing footsteps descending the gangplank. Quickly, behaving like a department store shoplifter, I yanked the lion pajamas off the throne and began pulling them on over my clothes. I then plunked the lion head helmet over my head and took my place on the throne, doing my best to replicate the mascot's pose. I froze in place just as the frosted glass door opened and a man stepped through onto the landing. By some miraculous means, I was able to maintain my still-life pose, even as I recognized who it was. It was Joey Kaye, unmistakably. Of course, not appearing like the image in the photo on the wall, more like the one who had answered the door at his modeling studio, the one who had given me the sucker punch to the gut and the burning Dutch rub to my scalp. He was carrying a gym bag and appeared mildly puzzled as to why the lights were on. Shrugging, he proceeded down the stairs and crossed to the lockers, choosing one and stepping over the bench in front of it. He set down his gym bag, unzipped it, and began changing. My ability to keep a careful watch over him from inside this lion helmet was going to be problematic, as my entire world view was limited to only what I could take in through the portals of the lion's amber eyes. The glass orbs were set wider apart than any human's and stood out 5 inches from my face, allowing me to see out of only one portal at a time. This was extremely unnerving, especially as I had to hold stock still and not turn my head at all. I had to hope he wouldn't step out of my field of vision entirely. Which, of course, is precisely what he did. Therefore, the only means I had to interpret what was going on was by the sounds he was making. He cleared his throat with a hacking cough. It sounded like a smoker's hack. I didn't dare move my head. My anxiety ratcheted off the charts when he suddenly became totally quiet. Was he on to me? I had no idea where he was or what he was doing. Then he returned to his locker. I was greatly relieved when he moved back into view, took his seat on the bench. I could see his right profile fairly well. I risked swiveling my head a degree or two and tilting the lion's helmet just a smidgen so I could line him up better through the lion's right eye. Meanwhile, Joey had removed his shoes and placed them in his locker. He then stood up and removed his slacks, which he hung up as well. He was now down to 3 items of clothing, white socks, a pair of red Speedo-style underwear, and his black sleeveless turtleneck T-shirt, the same type I had seen him wearing downtown, and which appeared to be his own unvarying fashion statement. He proceeded to peel it off up and over his head and then sat down again on the bench. I noted he was hairy as a Neanderthal, and although he had lost conditioning compared to his wrestling days, he still had plenty of muscle, although with equal parts flab as well. He stood up briefly to pull on a pair of gym shorts, and then removed a pair of running shoes from his gym bag. He startled me by leaning back and flinging both legs over the bench in order to swivel around 180 degrees. He was now facing away from the lockers and therefore showing me his profile on the other side. As he bent over to put on his running shoes, I noticed a developing bald spot on the crown of his head. He also afforded me an excellent view of his shoulders and neck muscles on the left side of his body, his deltoid and trapezius. I observed that on his left shoulder, right where it joined with his neck, there were some dark markings which I took to be some kind of faded tattoo. The markings looked like two miniature horseshoes joined together at their ends. The horseshoes were not solid, but made up of a chain of little black and blue bruises the size of blueberries. Suddenly, with a powerful jolt, I realized what I was actually looking at. It was a crude human dental chart, and I didn't have to take many guesses to know exactly who it belonged to. Beverly Martindale.